And we're back. So we're kicking off season 6. Can you believe it? 6 seasons, episode 1. This one is with author, serial entrepreneur, Ruth Proctor. Now, as most of y'all know, when you have your own business, when you're on your grind professionally, sometimes you're doing interviews in the craziest places. So I do my best to try to edit out some of the background noise in this one. Because there was some feedback going on. But definitely take a listen to her story. And after this commercial break, she's coming up next. Hey cousins, have you joined the movement yet? What movement might you ask? My Balbo. That's right, My Balbo, B-A-L-B-O. It's a free political social app for the next generation of voters that fosters community engagement, encourages empowering discussions, and provides real-time political accountability. So if you're like me and you get absolutely overwhelmed when it's time for primaries or any type of election in your particular area, and just trying to find out research and get information on the candidates that are running, My Balbo is the one-stop shop for that. It pulls all of that information together so you can go to one place, one location, and get the information that you need to be an informed voter. So if you haven't already gone to mybalbo.com so that you can subscribe and download the app today, what are you waiting for? Go do it. mybalbo.com. Now, it's only available in the U.S. right now, but don't worry. Hopefully, it'll be available in other countries very soon. So again, go to mybalbo.com. Hey, everybody, and normally I comb the streets of TikTok and Instagram, but this time, that is not where I found our next guest. No. We found her at the grand opening of Factory 10. So you are in for a treat because this also is a fellow author. So how we always talk about me in the children's book genre, name. I have our special guest, Ruth Proctor, who actually wrote a book about her life. And it's a book that also helps people that may have gone through some of the same experiences that she went through. So she's an author in like a different genre. But we definitely connected. And it's wonderful to have her on the show because she's also doing other things career-wise as well. Did y'all know she had a podcast? You didn't yet, but you will as we start to talk to her. So welcome. Welcome to our virtual couch.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And we're going to kick off our inaugural question. So what we normally ask everyone, take yourself back to high school. And we always like to look at like that junior, senior year. Some people get the luxury of thinking of college and making those moves for the next step. Other people don't get that luxury. Scholarships, college, things like that are not an option for them. They've got to hit the ground working and running. So what camp did you fall into? Did you know you wanted to go into school or how did that happen?
So in high school, you know, I was a different student. I was working full time. I had 2-3 jobs in my junior and my senior year. And so my focus was definitely going to college, but I was also trying to get out of my foster parents' home. It was just like, this is not home for me. So my situation was very unique and different. Because I was hungry and to really wanting more for myself, mm-hmm. wanting more for my siblings, wanting more for my family. And so I knew that I had to go to college because I was like, this ain't it.
Oh, I love that. So when you were deciding that you wanted to go into school, did you know at that point what you were interested in career-wise, or you were one of those people that were just going to try to figure it out once you got in school?
No, I definitely knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a lawyer. So I wanted to go to law school. I actually had already taken the ASVAB to go to military. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be a JAG officer for the military. And so I was already like betting for that. I had taken the ACT in my junior year. I took the ACT twice. I took the SAT twice. I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. And so growing up, I used to say I wanted to be a police, and then that changed, and then I realized I wanted to be a lawyer. And so midway through college is when I realized, no, I'm not even midway, almost like towards the end, my senior year in college, is when I realized, I don't want to be a lawyer either. So I was definitely, you know, track focused on being a lawyer until like my senior year in college.
So what made you fall out of interest of being an attorney? Was there something else that sparked your interest more?
No, actually, my internship is what really pushed me to not want to do it. Oh, and wow. I should have never did that type of intern. So I did an internship at the Center for Litigation. And so you're dealing with inmates that's on death row. And they're like interviewing the families and trying to get the person off of death row or so that they're not executed. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even the type of law that I was trying to practice. And so my professors and my counselors was just like, my guidance counselors was just like, you know, kind of like pick an internship that's in the field. They didn't tell me to like be specific. And I wish that, you know, advisors in college would be more intentional. Because if they were more intentional, I probably would have picked a internship with a, you know, with a law firm that was more in line with what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say I wasn't really sure about the type of law I wanted to practice, but I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And so because I took that internship, I actually did a 2-year internship with them. It really discouraged me from doing law altogether. So instead of going to law school after undergrad, I went to grad school.
Oh, okay. So what did you decide to go to grad school for?
So what's crazy about it is my senior year at Central, shout out to North Carolina Central University. the program for mass, I was taking a minor in public administration. And at the time, the accreditation wasn't there for the whole bachelor's program. My senior year, they got their accreditation. So my advisor said, we just got the accreditation. If you take these more, you know, these couple more classes, you will be able to graduate with a bachelor's in public administration and political science. And so I took the extra credits and graduated with both bachelor's in public administration and political science. So when it got time for grad school, I knew that getting a master's in public administration would kind of be broad, and I would be able to do a lot in politics and in public relations. So I got my master's in public administration.
Interesting, because some people would look at, but there actually is a correlation there.
Yep.
So you go through undergrad, I'm going to be an attorney, Olivia Pope, this ain't working out for me. I go into grad school. I'm like, okay, now I'm getting a little bit closer. Now you're out of grad school. So what did you do career-wise that kind of led you up to becoming an author and being in the media space of where you are now?
Truthfully, my life. My life story is what really got me in this space. It wasn't anything that I went to college for. It wasn't what I thought I was going to be doing or what I set my mind to do. Truthfully, I landed in this space because of God. So to kind of give you a little bit of backstory, growing up in foster care, you know, being molested, being in, you know, a domestic violence relationship, being married multiple times, you know, it scarred me. It taught me survival. And so I was working in corporate at the time. And then I started working part-time as a mentor. And so when I started working part-time as a mentor, you know, I really seen how my story mirrored theirs. And I was like, man, like, this is gratifying. You know, I really realized that, you know, working with kids that had, you know, dysfunctional families, that had, you know, no family support, no guidance, was exactly what my situation was. And so I began to pour into them. And so even though I was pouring into them, they were also helping me. And so I began to do that more and more. And so I switched gears from working in corporate to working full-time in the mental health space. And so then, meanwhile, while I'm working in the mental health space, you know, I'm journaling. Because my girlfriend, my freshman year in college, I'm in an abusive relationship, and she's like, you need to journal. And so when I started journaling, you know, I continued to journal. And I've always been spiritual. I've always been in church. So I've always been told since a little girl that I would be in speaking to the masses. I didn't know what that meant. I just automatically thought that was me, you know, them saying, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to be an evangelist. And the retrospect, it all makes sense now. But at the time, I'm just thinking, you know, spiritually, okay, they saying I'm going to be an evangelist. Okay, whatever. And I just kind of, you know, tucked that away and just kept But now it makes sense because I went from the mental health space to, you know, being a business owner, opening up a salon, opening up different type of businesses, opening up a mental health business. And in the midst of a divorce, God is like, do this book, write this book, write this book. So for years, I've been told, and people have came up to me, you know, knowing my story, like, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. So I think my story was so traumatic and so also so like inspirational that people were like, you need to write a book about it. You need to tell people your story and how you overcame all these things. Mm-hmm. And the more I worked in the mental health field and more I worked with kids, the more I realized that my story was, if not worse than their story, the same as their story. Mm-hmm. And so from that space, I began to just write. And then I turned my journal entries into a book and then just began to continue to write on it. And then in 2020 is when I finally said, okay, I'm going to produce my book. And so that's really how I got into the space of being in the media and talking about my story, was because my pain became my purpose.
I love that. And for people that are interested in your story and want to learn more about it, or they also know of someone, or maybe even work in the mental health space themselves with foster kids or kids from homes that are a bit turbulent, where can they find your book, and what is the name of it?
The name of the book is I Survived, You Can Too. And they can find it at www.aruthproctor.com. It's also on Amazon. If you go up under books and then click in, you know, type in my name. Mm-hmm. But I always encourage everybody to go to my website. It's easy, it's quick. They can find me on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I'm A. Ruth Proctor on all platforms.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to make sure that I put that in the show notes for those of you that could not write fast enough, so don't worry. So now, coming back to your story. So you came out of school, you were in corporate, but what was nice and things that I want to point out is that some people go to school, they come out, they do a particular track, right? They stay on that track, whether they like it, whether they don't. Yeah. This is my ministry. This is what I'm going to do. Other people, I like to call them the color outside the lines people. I feel like you're my camp, where today I'm going to be in the police academy trying out to be a cop. Tomorrow, I think an FBI agent is where I want to be. You know what? No, not law at all. I'm just going to start my own business. I'm going to do this food truck over here. So I like that you've kind of zigzagged in between the traditional and the entrepreneurship. So what do you find that you like the best? The structure of a 9-to-5, or just more of the freedom structure, if you will, of entrepreneurship?
I definitely love the freedom of entrepreneurship. I've been an entrepreneur since 07. And so for, you know, 17, 18 years, you know, I've been in the mental health field for 17, 18 years, but I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years. So I love the flexibility of being an entrepreneur, but I still bring that structure into the space of entrepreneurship. So I am very structured. I got my calendar. You know, I'm very organized. I know what I got to do for the day. Thank God for this Apple Watch. It keeps me on track. But I do love the flexibility. I love being able to take my kids to school every day. I love being able to pick my kids up from school. And I love also being in a position of power, but being mindful of power. You know, being mindful of how I treat people. And so even though I'm in this space of entrepreneurship, I've been at every level you can think of, from cleaning toilets, you know, to being a CEO. And so I didn't understand that at the time, but it also made me be a good boss, and it made me be relatable to people. You know, it's not one position in my business that I haven't worked. And it also lets me know that, you know, I'm human and that I can be the boss, but I still have people that need me and that depend on me, and I know how to treat them. And so I treat everybody the same, whether they're the janitor or the CEO. So I think because of the multifacets and the different things that I've done, it helped me to be grounded and to say, okay, They might be having a bad day today, let them go home. Versus being a tired boss and saying, no, your shift don't end till 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I think because of, you know, like you said, zigzag and being out of the lines, it also made me be mindful and respectful of everybody, no matter what their position is.
And I would say, tell me what your thoughts are on this. I also, at one point in time for several years, worked in mental health. And I find that my experience working in mental health, everything that I do after that, it's all mental health. Like anything that you do dealing with people is mental health, whether it's your own and you got to check yourself and stay calm when you're dealing with a rude, nasty person, or you're dealing with someone that is going through something, as people do, but you still have to find a balance between professional and personal. So with that being said, with you, do you see how that plays a role in everything that you do entrepreneur-wise?
Definitely. Sometimes it's a little scary. It's like, oh my God, like it's like the dots, you know, the dots connect. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand my story. I didn't understand the things that I've been through, but it all makes sense. And it actually helps me to be a better mom. It helps me to be a better, you know, boss. It helps me to be a better sister, a better friend. So I'm very cognitive of how I treat people, what I say. So I definitely think it does play a role in everyday life, because I have to put boundaries in place too, in business, in personal. I was the person that would say yes to everybody, and then my cup would be empty. So working in mental health helped me to put boundaries in my place, in my life, personally and professionally. So now I can say, you know what? It's 6 o'clock. I'm off. I can't work no more. I can't help you. If you need something, call me at 9 o'clock. Whereas before, you know, before I was working in the mental health field, I didn't put boundaries in place. I would, you know, be a yes man and, you know, do everything everybody wanted me to do. But once I started working in the mental health field and really fine tune that, and because I think when you work for yourself, you kind of don't have, you really don't have structure. You are kind of just, you know, flying by the seat of your pants trying to get it done. But once you really put those pieces in place to hold yourself accountable, you begin to realize, okay, I need to take time off. I need to turn this off. After this time, I cannot work. So I would definitely say for sure, it definitely have played in every aspect of my life, for sure.
I love that. So how did you, because you have the book, so I'm sure you're doing different events and things like that to really promote it and tell your story and work with the various groups that can relate to it the most. But how did that translate into you being a part of the podcast? So tell us a little bit about that and how you got involved with that.
Man, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's definitely God, because I didn't want to do none of this stuff. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't even want to do the book. You know, it was like God nudging me, having pastors say in church, finish that book. And I'm like, man, really? Like, it was just crazy. And, you know, it sounds so cliche, but it's so true. Everything that we go through as people really puts us in places that we would never understand, as long as you follow his guide, do what he tells you to do. And once I really stopped thinking that I had control, because none of us have control, he has all control, I began to see things happen. And so I did the book, and then right after I did the book, it was just like an influx of just questions, an influx of people wanting to know more, an influx of people asking me to be on their show, or, you know, it just began to be really overwhelming, especially for me, because I'm very private. And so when you go from a private life to a public life, in a sense, it's like, people want to, because it's been comments like, you know, you did a book, so, you know, it's like everybody, when you do a book, everybody thinks they're supposed to, they know everything about you already, or that they know everything about your life. And it's like, no, you don't. This is just a piece of my life. And so the more and more I began to talk and ask questions and be on shows, the more and more it was like, you got to do your own podcast. You got to do something. And so I began to do Women Supporting Women Wednesdays on Instagram. And then from that point, it was like, okay, this got to be a podcast. And so that began to be overwhelming for me, because, like I said, I was a person that was very private page. you know, not even my name. Not, I mean, I didn't really care about people knowing who I was. That just wasn't my cup of tea. To doing the book and everybody knowing my name and, you know, people saying, you wrote the book and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It was very overwhelming. So I had to really step outside of myself and say, this is not about you. This is about you helping people. This is about people knowing that they can go through this type of struggle. They can go through these type of traumatic things, but they still can come out on the other side. So I really had to have a talk with myself to say, you know, like, get it together. You didn't do this book for this. Mm-hmm. So what is the ultimate purpose? And so once I sat with that and once I wrote that out, I was able to realize that I had to talk. I had to talk about it. You know, I had to talk about and tell people how I did it and why I did it. And from that point, one of my a colleague from the gym, I exercise is another form of self-care for me. I met a guy that actually had a podcast already as well. And I remember saying to him last year, you know, men constantly send me messages and I don't really know how to respond to them. You know, I'm a female. I know how I responded. I know how I dealt with my trauma. Mm-hmm. But what do you say to a black man that has been molested? What do you say to a man that has been touched? You know, I needed that support on the man side. Mm. And so I just said this one comment to him. And then maybe like 2 months later, they asked me on their show. And then after the show, they was like, we want to bring you on as a part of our show. And I was just like blown away. But I knew immediately at that point, I was supposed to do it. Nothing in me said no. Nothing felt bad. Nothing felt wrong. So I knew that was alignment. And so from that point, I started doing the podcast with them on a bigger scale on the community side.
Where can people find your podcast? You talked about the Women Supporting Women on Wednesdays on your Instagram. So don't worry, guys. We'll plug that so that you can tune in and watch that. But where can people find your podcast and what is it named?
So the name of the podcast is The Bro Code. So it's THEBROCODE, The Bro Code. And they're on all platforms, Spotify, YouTube, all social media platforms. And my podcast also is on my YouTube channel, Ruth Proctor. So you can find them on both channels.
Okay. So now you are what people would call a serial entrepreneur. So for those tuning in that don't know what that is, a serial entrepreneur is someone that is involved in multiple businesses. So you could have a hair salon over here, a podcast is a business. So you have a podcast over here. But then you're an author, so that book is a business, however you're using it and utilizing it as a tool. So you have more than one, you're a serial. So lay out for us all your pieces of serial and how do you balance it? Because I'm sure it's a lot.
Oh, my God. Listen, that's why I'm in the car right now. Okay, because I'm a serial entrepreneur. This is going from one day to another. If you were really serious about this life, be prepared to be doing interviews in the car, okay? But for real, you know, I had a boutique, and I still technically have the boutique. I do like styling for some celebrities and for just regular people. I've done some styling for anchors on the news. So I've done that. I love doing that. Fashion has always been like a special part of me. So I Shop Posh is the name of that LLC. And that's kind of a la carte. Then I have a CBD line, a beauty line of shea butter, scrubs, and sea moss, and some tonics. That's called Refreshing LLC. And then I have mental health. I have done mental health, like I was saying earlier, for like 18 years. So I've had offices across the East, pretty much across the East Coast. And the name of that business is New Journey. And then I have a nonprofit. That's my heart. I love it. It's giving back to the community and helping foster kids. And the name of that business is Building Foundations Together Incorporated. And we cover Georgia, North Carolina, and Virginia when it comes to foster kids, making sure they have book bags, making sure they have supplies, making sure the parents have parenting skills to deal with foster kids, because, you know, it's a big gap between social services and foster kids and foster kids and foster parents. So being a foster kid myself, I know what that feels like. I know what it looks like. I lived it. So that's been my passion for a long time, is helping foster kids, because they are so not protected, supported in so many ways than people really know. And so Building Foundations currently have a initiative with a book club where eight kids from the inner city of Raleigh are writing a book collaboratively together. Oh, and so that comes out next month, as well as the book club that we do pretty much year round, and the support of the foster kids, making sure they got book supplies. So we do a book bag drive every year, all three states, and then continue to do a collaborative with the community based on what's the need.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And you know what's interesting about your businesses? They all cover every aspect that you would think of from a mental health perspective. Right. When you think about it. Because you had a hair salon that you mentioned, but then you went into styling, and then you went into different products like tonics and shea butter. That's all self-care right there. And then to have the mental health actual business where you're providing services, even down to the nonprofit, but even to the podcast, which talking about things is therapeutic to be able to get that out. So it's like literally from soup to nuts, it comes together all full circle.
And that's why I was saying God connect the dots, because that wasn't intentional. It was more so like, this is what I want to do, you know? And I mean, the first business I did, which is the salon and spa, I was so, you know, I didn't have any guidance. I'm 24 years old, 25 years old. I just know what I want to, I know I want to open a business. And I jumped head first without any guidance. And 2 years later, the recession hit and I lost my business. I lost all my money, all my savings. I lost everything. And then I took that and just said, okay, well, I'm going to do something else. And me and my husband at the time said, okay, well, we're doing our mental health business. And then I gained all my money back within the first year. So, you know, the dots connect, but it wasn't, it was definitely not me.
And I love that it's important to also talk about failure, because I think a lot of times when people do want to go into entrepreneurship, they look at a lot of people's level up and glow up and think that, oh, I'm going to come into this business and it's going to be easy money and it's going to take off. And like you, I remember I was a consultant for Rodan and Fields. It failed. Wow. I was sold candles, steak knives back in the day when you would go door to door. Fail. Like, but you learn from the failure.
Yeah, I mean, you learn from your failures. And you, if at first you don't succeed, pick yourself up and try again. It sounds cliche, but it's so true. And it's so true in business.
I love
it. Disney didn't make it to after eight times. He failed seven times before he made it to where Disney is now. So, you know, you got to just continue to try until you get the right thing.
You're right. 100%. So if you had any words of pro and con, because a lot of times when people see you at your best, they don't realize all of the work that even when something takes off, that is still involved in taking off. So I would say if you could say one pro to your entrepreneurial experience and then one con, what would it be?
The pro, I would say, learning. You're always learning. You're always growing as a person. You're always making relationships. And you're always being connected. That's definitely the pro. The con is, I'm in my car right now. I mean, you're always, you know, it's never a dull moment. Mm. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're the boss, everything falls on you. When payrolls do, you got to front payroll. When your employees are having a bad day, you got to cover. You know, everything falls on you as the owner. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say the con is the stress. You know, the sleepless nights, you know, the financial issues. I mean, we're in COVID right now. I mean, we're coming out of it in a sense. But and then they talk about a recession. You know, that's scary for a business owner because you don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. But because I went through all the things in my past, and going through a recession in a business, I'm not stressing it. I'm just like, whatever, we'll be okay. I'm not stressing it, you know? So because of that, it actually taught me a lot. So that's the pro and the con, definitely. You know, the pro could be the con and the con could be the pro.
I love that. And if you had any final words of advice, let's say we have a listener that is a part of our tribe. You know you want to do something. You know you want to get out there and be professional. You might not even know yet if you want to be an entrepreneur versus if you want to work a 9-to-5.
Right.
What piece of advice could you give someone that's kind of in that limbo and doesn't quite know, but they want to get started in something?
I would definitely say baby steps. I think that was the mistake I made in opening the salon. Mm-hmm. I jumped out the window and I had this grand idea, but I started too big. Mm-hmm. If I would have started small, you know, get your feet wet. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would definitely say get experience in whatever it is you're trying to do. If you're trying to open up a salon, go work in a salon. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to open up a nail salon, go work in a nail salon. Try that business as an employee first to make sure that that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then if that's comfortable for you, then take that leap. But start off small and then work your way up and expand that business from there. And get, you know, really, it's everybody talking about a mentor right now, but it's true. You need someone to coach you. You need somebody to guide you. Talk to somebody that's in that profession that you want to do. Talk to somebody that's been through that before so they can guide you. Everybody needs somebody that's at a different level than them. That's how you grow as a person. If everybody around you on the same level, you ain't learning and you in the wrong group anyway. So you should always be somebody around you that you can learn from. So definitely make sure you have somebody that can teach you the areas that you need help with. If you want to open up this type of business, then make sure you're surrounded around people that are in that type of business so you can learn. Because you might find as you work in, that ain't what you want to do. But if you done jumped out the window and you done, you know, like me, I opened up a 2,000 square foot space. I had 12 salon chairs. I had 3 nail booths and 2 pedicure chairs. Ain't no reason in the world I had that big of a space, and I just got started. Mm-hmm. So if I would have had a mentor, they would have said, baby, just, you know, slow your roll, you know, take your time, get you a small space, or go work in a salon, and then see if you really want to do this. But I didn't do that. So I would definitely say work in that field, work in that area that you want to, you know, work in first to make sure that's what you want to do. And I hate when people say quit your 9-to-5 to go be an entrepreneur, because it's not true. It's not real. It's not realistic. Because most businesses don't work or make money till after 2 years. If you quit your 9-to-5, how you going to pay your bills? How you going to work? How you going to, you know, really get this business off the ground? Mm-hmm. So baby steps. Work that 9-to-5 and do your side hustle as your business. And then once your business is making money, then you can quit your 9-to-5 to focus on your business. But you can't jump out the window without having a guide and a plan.
I love that. Words of wisdom. I can tell you all that she walks it like she talks it, just like the song. Because one thing that I found that was very interesting at the grand opening, Eunice and I got a chance to meet a lot of people in Tanya's tribe. Yeah. Tanya, the owner of F10. When I say birds of a feather do flock together, every single last one of y'all are business owners in your own spaces or authors or something. In addition to what 9-to-5 some of you may have, but all definitely at those levels. Real estate agents. I got a landscaping company over here. I have a jewelry design company over here. I have a tech company over here. Like literally everybody in your camp that we met is all in line as entrepreneurs. Yes.
Girl, listen, it's full. You got to have a couple eggs and a couple different baskets. If this don't work, I need this to work. And if that don't work, then I got this. I have options.
I love it. So you heard it there first, y'all. Create your options. Yes. All right. And don't forget to check the show notes. When you're looking at the episode, just click more. I'm going to tag all of her social media. I'm going to tag her book. I'm going to tag her website. I'm going to tag both the podcasts. And I definitely encourage you to like, follow, and subscribe. Thank you so much for joining the virtual couch or car seat in your case today.
Thank you for having me. Y'all continue to support podcasts like this. We need to see more of it. You know, we don't support each other enough. I appreciate you having me up here, sis. And, you know, y'all make sure y'all continue to follow her in her journey.
So we got a chance to sit on the virtual couch with yet another professional entrepreneur person out here leveling up, working hard, and making their way. Stay tuned for our next episode where we sat down with Alicia Jackson, who is part owner of Trinity Digital. So we're going to find out, how do you go from a 9-to-5, especially when you're already in the tech space 9-to-5, but you decide, you know what, you want to step out on your own, you want to do your own niche within the tech world, and what the process was and what advice someone in that position might have for you. As always, think outside the box and don't forget to share with others, y'all. We're trying to get out there. Until next time.